Hello, today is Thursday, August 9th, 2018. I'm Joe Schmidt with TC2, and this is Staying Connected. On today's podcast, we are continuing with our podcast series, Staying Ahead of the Demand for Network Cost Savings. In this series, we've been revealing useful strategies to help enterprises achieve continuous network cost improvement and deliver world-class network infrastructure. On today's podcast, I am joined by Laura McDonald, a partner at LB3, and Keith Cook, a project director at TC2. Laura and Keith are going to be talking with me about supplier and contract management. All right, Laura, let me start with you. In previous podcasts, we've discussed the need for a continual cycle of activity to maintain market-leading pricing and terms. Now, I suppose after an intense, focused sourcing effort, there's this natural tendency by enterprises to just file everything away and then take a breather. So if in fact they do that, they might be letting a prime opportunity slip by. Is that right?
Joe, that's exactly right. You know, it's said that professional golfers always have the next play in mind when they're planning their current shot, and that's a great discipline for strategic sourcing as well. The completion of a project can be the best time to plan and document for the next steps for future sourcing and contractual opportunities. Of course, you're exhausted and you're ready to move on, but before you consider your deal closed and move on to implementation, a smart enterprise will add a few final items to the project completion checklist. And those are, one, reviewing the new deal. You think you know it, you've lived it, but now it's time to go back and look at it from a different light. You need to identify the activities that are needed to keep the contract and the pricing at the leading edge throughout the term, and you need to create a timeline and requirement list so that you can do that. And these final steps really shouldn't be overlooked, no matter how eager you are to move on. So the next thing you may ask, what are some real-life examples? How would this apply and play out? And here's an easy one to discuss, benchmarking. You may have negotiated the right to benchmark rates during the term. And even if you haven't, there's nothing stopping you from building an opportunity to conduct a competitive review to adjust the pricing to market during the term. That can be annually, it can be midpoint. But when you're closing a deal, in order to really effectuate this, you need to create a timeline and a plan then, not wait. So the first thing you want to do is you want to create a timeline. If you have a contractual benchmark provision, you need to look at it and say, when does the process begin? What steps are specified and how are the market-based adjustments determined so that you have that outlined in advance in an easy-to-access feature? If you don't have a contract provision, then you need to be thinking about when are the natural points to reevaluate. Then you want to outline the steps that you need to take in advance and when you need to take them to get ready. For example, review contract, collect the inventory data, determine when your circuit terms expire, etc. And then you need to outline what resources you'll need to use to competitively assess and benchmark your pricing. And this should be fresh in your mind because you've just finished it. So do you need advisor assistance? Do you need competitive pricing from other incumbent providers? What do you need to reach the point and have an effective benchmarking? You also want to prepare a budget because it takes money to save money, and you want to make sure that you get the funding for this in advance. So build it into your budget cycle. And then you also want to know and keep in mind that the suppliers would rather not price down their services during the term, and they're going to work aggressively to dilute, extend, or even eliminate your rate review opportunities. So you need to plan effectively to counter this and to counter just the normal inertia that hits after implementation is done and things are moving forward. So these are all things to keep in mind when you're finishing your deal so your deal stays good and fresh for the whole term.
Well, that's a really good list. Thanks. So, Keith, do you have anything to add?
Joe, yes, I do. It's important to know when your contract ends and the impacts if your contract does expire. And here's a hint. You never actually want your contract to simply expire. Seriously, though, regardless of your approach that you're going to pursue, whether it's RFP or sole source negotiations, the milestone for beginning the process is the same, and that is well before the contract expiration date. For your best negotiating leverage, that's usually 9 to 15 months before the expiration date, depending upon the size and complexity of your deal and your service mix. And this may seem counterintuitive, but negotiating leverage increases for the supplier as you get closer to the end of your contract, and the leverage decreases for you, the customer. The supplier can force you to accept suboptimal pricing or terms by simply running out the clock, and you don't want that to happen. If the supplier knows you have time to move your services away to a different service provider, they will be more responsive and compliant with your requirements. So, just don't let yourself be boxed into a corner and have to settle for a poor deal.
Keith, those are really good points. I got one more thing. Manage your purchases. Nothing deflates a request for price improvements than a signal by committing new purchases that you aren't really going to look someplace else. If you need to make a significant purchase instead of squandering that leverage, let that be known as part of the discussions, not done prior to the discussions.
That's absolutely right. Don't give away your leverage or signal a different path. Have your plan and then stick to it.
And Keith, switching focus just a bit, I want to mention another important consideration as you're planning for keeping your rates really fresh during the term. If your IT contracts include significant or complex credit structures, so if you get a credit based on spend thresholds or milestones at month 5, you're going to get a credit, for example, you need to, in that list that we were talking about, document those milestone dates, the thresholds, and the payment intervals, because this is critical to make sure that the payment is timely and full value is received. And even if you're using a TEM provider, they may not be looking for that. They may just be looking to make sure that your rates match up for the monthly recurring charges. So you need to document that. Also, it may sound obvious, but you need to check to make sure you're actually getting the credits. You'd be surprised how often we find that's missed. And if you do a benchmark, don't forget to consider the credit in determining whether or not the rate you're seeking is better. And then finally, what you want to remember is that the supplier is not going to do any of this for you. This is all stuff to help you, and so it's going to be on the bottom of their checklist.
That's right. Very important, Laura. And as you can see, there's considerable effort required between your major sourcing events. We've just outlined a few of these key actions. A good way to manage these is to create customized contract management timelines for each of your contracts. These must be documented in writing because trying to simply rely on your memory is not sufficient, and things will slip through the crack, as the saying goes. Also, depending on the size of your organization and the scope of your contracts, you may want to assign these responsibilities. In other words, have one person for one contract so that they can manage things proactively. It's very difficult for any one person to manage multiple complex contracts, so spread it out if your organization has the resources to do that.
And another thing, Keith, to do on an annual basis is to review the services you're purchasing and make sure you know a couple of things. One, if a service element is subject to a circuit term, when does that term end? It's really easy to lose track unless you are checking and keeping track of that. Even if the vendor is supposed to be providing you those reports, you need to validate the reports. You can find yourself in a lower leverage position when you do a midterm check or a new deal because you just don't have that critical information. And the farther you get out, the harder it is to recreate that. The other thing that you can do is to make sure all the services you're purchasing contribute to any revenue requirements and are subject to fixed competitive prices. Deal after deal that I've been involved in, I'll see that when we're looking to refresh it or to renew it, there are service elements that are not fixed prices or don't contribute to the revenue commitment because they were added on after the initial deal and that was just overlooked. So if you keep up with those items as you go along, you can really save yourself some money and loss of leverage.
Okay. Thank you, Laura. And thank you, Keith. I think this has been a great discussion, and I think you guys have touched on some very important concepts, and I'm quite confident that the listening audience has learned a great deal from your insights. Okay, for our next podcast in this Staying Connected series, I'll be joined by my TC2 colleagues, Pat Gilpatrick and Larry York, and we will be talking about sourcing to support technology transformation, so you really don't want to miss that one. And please keep an eye out for our messages, providing links to our latest podcasts, or simply go to our websites. And if you, the listening audience, would like to learn more about best practices for ICT procurements, Or if you'd like to discuss other ICT needs with Laura, Keith, me, or any of our LB3 and TC2 colleagues, please give us a call or drop us an email. And you can always stay current by checking out our websites or follow us on LinkedIn.